Credit analyst, you got a real chance of being anonymous. Now, by the way, I just put this up there because I'm an idiot and this made me laugh. And that's how I include things on these things. What makes me laugh? So this girl did, you know, they have these AMA things, Ask Me Anything on Reddit. So she posts, I had breast reduction surgery 24 hours ago. Ask me anything. I'm an 18-year-old girl. I was She was a 32G, now she's a 34C. 18-year-old 34C girl who has posted topless photos of herself with the head cut off. And she says, but I want to keep myself anonymous. Okay, 50 minutes after she posted, edit. Seems like 4chan has come up with my personal information. Come on, 18-year-old topless girl, they're not going to figure out who she is. I mean, there were probably 40,000 analysts working on this. It's unbelievable. You're not, forget it. You're not anonymous. You know how you stay anonymous? Don't say, I'm anonymous. The minute you say that, you are so screwed. And there are identity companies, give you a simplified ping identity, whose job it is to suck down all of your public data, not just stuff like public record data like voter and real property and social security information or phone and whatever, but they grab your Facebook and your Twitter and your Google file. And once they grab that, they sell it to Fox and Frito-Lay and Nike and Sona. And they turn around and they give you alternative logins, which you go, yeah, that's convenient. No, it's not. You need to have a separate password for every site. Don't believe me? Ask the owners of Stratfor if that's true or not. Right? Listen. If you log into every site with your Facebook login, A, the people who have your Facebook login have your login to every site. And B, Facebook has all of your login information. I mean, how hard is that to figure out? Apparently, really, really hard. And, guys, so you're secretive. You're good little hackers. You're good little investigators. And by the way, there's about 75 of my colleagues in this room who came. We put out a big posting, you know, come, we're going to give you continuing education credits for this. Later, I'm going to blow a whistle and the side of the room will collar. That's right. No, I'm kidding. This is something that every investigator has internalized, and so should you. If you don't post your shit, somebody else will. Because they think they're being nice. Hey, this is me and Bob at a party. Bob didn't want to post that. Too late. You know, there's sites. Here's two. Again, it made me laugh. I put it up. Here's two sites. Don't Date Him Girl and Who's a Rat. I show this every year. There's a site. Don't Date Him Girl. Alleged cheater Aaron Carter III. This boy will use you like no other. He smokes weed all day, every day. And if he doesn't have it, he will freak out. Here's his age, his height, his weight, where he lives, his photo. I don't care if Aaron Carter is a ghost. I got him, thanks to a pissed off girlfriend. Oh, this is my favorite one. Jonathan John Rainwater. This man, or so-called boy, is such a liar. First he said he loved me, and we were together for 4 years. And then I catch him in bed, okay, problem number one, with another guy. Problem number two, with another guy, comma, Devin Pridemore. So for an investigator, this is kind of a twofer. And you've got the Bad Boyfriends Club, and you've got Who's a Rat, where they post informants and information on people. I mean, this is the original doxing site and the original dorking site. And they put up photos and dates of birth and addresses and schools and whatever. It's a terrible, terrible site. And 1 in 5 Americans now has a personal blog. They have nothing to say. They have shitty, boring little lives. So you know what happens? They write about your life. Thank you. I appreciate it. Not how you should manage your privacy. So then you have commercial data gatherers. Think about what using Amazon tells people. And I got to really speed up. What you read, what you like, where you live, your bank account, your credit card, your address, because they actually have to send you stuff. So it's your real address. Your entire profile. Quick example. I had a woman in my building where I live ask me to buy her a book. She doesn't have the internet, old Russian woman. Told me in broken English, buy me this book on kidney cancer. I bought her the book on Amazon. 4 weeks later, I started receiving other things you might be interested in and little things in my mail about cancer. I don't have cancer, thank God. But that's how it works. Kindle and ebook. Invasion of privacy like you can't imagine. Kindle even knows what you highlight and what page you stopped reading on. I'm not kidding. If you highlight something because it interests you, the mothership gets a message. Honestly. And by the way, booksellers can have as an extra added thing, nonfiction books, fiction books, will be told by Amazon, 14,000 of the readers highlighted this passage. They really were interested in that. eBay and PayPal, come on. I mean, what do eBay and PayPal, which are the same company, of course, not know about you? Every freaking silly thing you browse on, you browse about helicopters. I mean, okay, bank accounts. I want to know your bank account. Not a problem. When you open up a new bank account, in front of every desk of the new accounts officer is a thing that says, little sign that says, be advised, your bank account is verified through Equifax Identity Services. Okay. So I go to Equifax Identity Services, I pull your file, and I see that Bank of America did a check on you. I'm going with my turnover order, my seizure order to Bank of America. You know, give me all bank accounts, all investment accounts, anything that this guy's a signatory on, freezes safe deposit boxes ever. They rat you out. They run you. That can only mean one thing. It's not that you walked in and you asked for change of 100, right? Every little thing you do is in a database somewhere. For example, you go to a bar, they take your driver's license now as proof that you gave them an ID that shows that you're of an age to drink. And then that data goes into a database. So, Rambam's first law. Write this down, there will be a test. All databases will eventually be used for unintended purposes. Example, here's a USA Today story. Domino's denies this, Domino's can bite me. USA Today story, how Domino's database, you call Domino's, they deliver you a pizza. I know what your cell phone number is. I go to the Domino's database, and you are a 24-year-old person. Sooner or later, you're going to order Domino's or Papa John's or Papa John's, one or the other. And I know that that cell phone had pizza delivered to 123 Main Street. I got you. U.S. Marshals Service, collection agencies, credit bureaus, everybody uses that service. All database. Here's an example from a real case of when I did it. I found out where he bought the pizza. I went to the Papa John's. This is Papa John's. I went to Papa John's and they printed out the receipt and it told me right where he went. I went there, grabbed the kid that had been abducted. Now, by the way, why are America's asses growing? Here's why. You don't even get off the couch anymore to go to the phone to order a pizza. You can do it right from your freaking TiVo. I mean, which, by the way, goes into a database, and then I know what IP address you were connected to when you ordered that pizza, and I trace the IP, and I got you. Papa John, from your PlayStation. Papa John's, from your PS3. Okay, points of purchase. You use these cards. Hey, if you've got a, somebody give me a New York, a Wallbounds. Use a Wallbounds frequent idiot card. You get half off this loaf of bread and three cents off of this and 40 cents off of this. I have your entire buying history. What does this tell me about you? It tells me enough that there was a chain called Stop and Shop where they tried to sell your buying history to HMOs. How much beer are you buying? How much fatty food are you buying? How much cigarettes are you buying? There was such an uproar they couldn't do it. But obnoxiously, and they were shameless about it, they called this reporting service that they were going to sell to the HMOs SmartMouth. Trackers. Trackers, 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 baby. Trackers, the holy grail of investigators. Finding you. Where are you now? Where were you last week? Who were you there with? Who are your friends? A million ways to do it. Now, this is old school. Windows. Every time you use Windows, it reports back to the mothership. Is this an authorized copy? In addition to reporting whether or not it's an authorized copy, it says Bob's copy connected through this IP address. Apple Store and iTunes, Windows Media Player. Every time you log in anywhere, I know where you are. Internet Explorer, other browsers. Activated software, phones, home. You use Microsoft Word, it connects to the mothership every time you open it up. Even we, connects to the Wii server. TiVo, TV, cable, reports your activity, what you're watching, what you're doing. OnStar, now by the way, OnStar can now be turned on with a warrant and the microphone. Even if you don't have OnStar, they can activate it remotely, activate the microphone remotely, and bug your car if there's a warrant. Just letting you know, rip out that microphone. EasyPass, iPass, SunPass, MetroCard, passenger list, car chip records, digital license plate readers, big, big, big deal. Unique serial numbers, CD and DVD burner signatures, GPS satellites, the new ones, the Galileo satellites that are going to be used by the European countries, reports your location within 6 freaking inches. I can tell not just what side of the street you're on, but what chair you're sitting in at a table. That's literally true. Literally true. Check-ins. Check-ins are the investigator's best friend. I feel very comfortable telling you about this because you're nuts. You're not going to stop. I'm at Bob's Pizzeria. I'm at the movie theater. I'm at the 7-Eleven. Who cares? Now, I care, especially if I'm trying to find out how you spend your day and where I can go grab you and pick up surveillance on you because I lost you when you ran that yellow light. Well, I do, oh, check-in. Thank you very much. And I go over there and I got you. Why? Why? Do you really think that your friends are watching your feed and going, hey, Bob's over there. Let me go hang out with him. Are you that freaking lonely? You want to see your friends? Say, hey, Bob, let's get a slice of pizza. Check-ins? Really? You want to be the mayor of a bowling alley? I mean, how sad is that? How many people in here... Suck it up and tell me. How many people in here have been a mayor of somewhere? Yeah, hands are going up. Shame on you. You look like a really nice person. I would spend time with you. Don't do that stuff. Mayor. What were you the mayor of? You're not going to tell me, are you? No, she's shaking her head no. Okay, well, if you're not going to tell me, don't do it again and you're forgiven. Cell phones, cell phones, cell phones, cell phones, cell phones. Listen, last year, according to some information just obtained, 2011, 1.3 million, 1.3 million law enforcement requests for cell phone data. This is not wiretaps, not wiretaps. I can promise you there are not 1.3 million wiretaps, not even in the book 1984. Would there be 1.3 million wiretaps? This is mostly location data. Where's this guy? Who's he with? Where's this guy? Who's he with? Where was he last month before we knew enough to put a guy on him? Retroactive surveillance. God, dude. Cell phones. I can follow you through GPS. I can follow you through Skyhook. I can follow you through enhanced Skyhook, which is what they call in P2P. I can follow you through pinging. I can follow you through setting up a trigger fish. E911 constantly goes back and forth. Wi-Fi activity from your phone. Smartphone activity. All of these things tell me exactly where you are. Exactly. And I want to tell you, the phone companies keep tower information and keep location information for between 18 months and 7 years, depending on the carrier. If I want to know everywhere you were, every minute of your life last year, before I even knew I cared about you, before I even knew your name, subpoena, warrant, grand jury subpoena, I know everywhere you were, your entire life. Show of hands, I already know the stats on this, and I'll tell you after I demonstrate it. How many people in this room never turn off their cell phone? Okay, look around. It's more than half of the room. Keep your hands up. More than half of the room. 77% of all Americans never turn off their cell phone. They plug it in to charge it, they take it with them. Plug it in to charge it, they take it with them. Holy crap. You never turn off your cell phone. What do you think you're going to miss at 3 o'clock in the morning? A ping from Jesus? I mean, and I'm Jewish and I say that. Skyhook. If GPS doesn't work, Skyhook has 55 million data points where it knows if you're 200 meters from this location, 400 meters from this location, you're there. Google has a similar product, and they're doing this P2P stuff now. I got to start doing this like a speed freak. If I know where you are, I know what you're doing. Because every bar, every store, every house, everything is GPS coded. I can look at your GPS location, and I can say, you're in front of Twinkie's Boom Boom Room. You're at the movie theater. You are at an abortion clinic. You are at a demonstration in Zuccotti Park. You are at the gun range. Whatever. I know what's there. Because every location is geocoded. Here's your GPS. You press the button, find me the nearest gas station. How do you think it knows that? You think it starts calling around on the phone? It's got everything located in there. So I know parking lot, movie theater, bar, Bob's house, everything. Behavior patterns, associates. If you're going to a bar every night of the week, hey, dude, it tells me something about you. If you're going to a doctor every week, I know you have a medical problem or you're taking someone who does, and I can check to see, is another cell phone going with you? It's that advanced. There's a product called Rabbi that a friend of mine in Israel developed, and he's twisted guys. He called it Rabbi, which stands for... Okay, where is it? Somewhere? Oh, there we go. Thank you. I need an assistant, apparently. Relationship and Activity Analysis and Behavior Informing. Rabbi. By looking at what you've done and who you've done it with, I can tell who you're meeting with, who's important to you. I can see if you are a known associate of criminals. I can tell what results from your activities. I'm not going to go through this because the clock is ticking. But it tells me, now by the way, here is from an actual subpoena. Here's a cell tower response. It tells me down to 25 feet, if you look at that, where you are. Sometimes it tells me you're on the spot. And again, Google P2P. Google P2P. This is going to be a game changer. This and the new GPS satellites and everybody using smartphones. This is sold to private industry. Now, I'm not going to get up here. I'll be very upfront about you about this. I'm not telling you the best stuff I know for two reasons. First of all, the publicly available stuff is freaky enough, and I believe, making my point. And second of all, of course, there are bad people out there that this stuff does deserve to be targeted at, and it's not my place. I'm not Julian Assange, who we could talk about some other time. I don't believe in what Julian Assange is doing. I believe in freedom of information, that's for damn sure. But I don't believe that I have a right to take secret information or law enforcement information and decide myself who gets what. So I don't discuss that. I think that's wrong. I think it's bad. By the way, I do think Julian Assange raped those two women, so that puts him on my shit list too. But this is an example of what's out there that's used by law enforcement. not only does it suck in everything, your IP contacts, your email, your profile, your social networking contacts, but it builds a profile of you. And it can follow if it knows you're using two or three phones, it identifies. Listen, you have a regular phone and you have a drop phone. Everywhere your regular phone is, including 3 o'clock in the morning, your drop phone is. Gee, is it possible Bob is using a second phone I don't know about? Come on. So this analyzes that. It finds that second phone, and it grabs the data. And it can grab the data after the fact. And here, multiple handphones, multiple SIMs, locations, whatever. The funny thing is, the U.S. government gives this stuff out. And in the case of Milan, it was turned against them. Historic data. I'm going to keep zipping through this, but let me just tell you, I can find out without breaking a sweat, everywhere you go, everybody you spend time with, everything you like to do, everywhere you do it, and who you do it with, just from your cell phone. Okay? I don't have to show you a whole lot of slides. That's the bottom line. And here's one of the programs being tested where it reports locations and SIM cards and activities and everything. The beta test name of the program is, honest to God, guilt by association. And here's link analysis. Here is a criminal conspiracy. You know, who are the central guys? We know that that guy's a bad guy, main bad guy, everybody goes to him, and so on and so forth. Guys, I'm not telling you anything you couldn't find out if you cared to do so by just going on Google. A lot of these examples, because I knew what to look for, I went right to the company's websites. I went right to Google. I sucked this all down. None of this is a secret. Now, I'm going to do this really, really fast. Milan. There's an example that I give about Milan. There was a terrorist, Omar Abu Bakr. Alleged terrorist, real terrorist. We're not going to get into that. CIA thought he was a terrorist. So they sent 26 guys to Milan, and they snatched him up. And they did what's called an extraordinary rendition, which is a euphemism for putting a bag over his head, taping him up, and shipping him to a country where we won't torture him, but they will. And in this case, they shipped him to Egypt, where he was tortured horribly, homosexual rape, beatings, burnings, whatever, for a few years. There's actually a book on it, a really, really good one, not an opinionated left-wing book, a book that even I think is good, called A Kidnapping in Milan, which I urge you to read. And then after 3 years of being tortured, both the Egyptians and the CIA agents who were observing the torture for a good part of it said, oops. And they put him back on a plane, and they put him back to Milan. Where the prosecutor, who's a pretty good guy, pretty good cop, anti-mafia prosecutor by the name of Bruno Megali, says, we have to identify these guys. So here's what he did. That, by the way, is from an actual surveillance. That's Omar Abu Bakr, who kind of looks like somebody I'd want to rendition if I was in that frame of mind. Don't judge people by their looks. So, here's what happened. They figured out where he was kidnapped. They knew where he was kidnapped because there were two witnesses to the kidnapping who went to the police. So they went to the cell towers, using information, by the way, that had been given to them by the CIA for anti-terrorism work. And they grabbed all of the connections. Now, for those of you who are tech weenies or phone freaks, is Captain Crunch in the room, for example, you know that a GSM cell phone has two things. It has a hardwired code, which is randomly called either an ESN or an MEID or an IMEI, depending on who you're asking. And it has a SIM card. Both of these things are absolutely unique. No phone has that hardware ID. No phone has that SIM card ID. And together, they are super, super unique. So they went and they identified all the SIM cards and all the hardware IDs in the location. And they found people who met a certain profile. They weren't in the area normally. They didn't live in the area. their SIM numbers and their IMEI and whatever weren't there at night. They did the most basic analysis. And I want to tell you, the key question for an analyst to ask is, what does X look like? What does a terrorist look like? What does a kidnapper look like? What does a money launderer look like? And once you figure out the profile, then you go out to big data, to the data sets, and you find everything that matches that. More often than not, you're right. More often than not, you're right. If I want to find a drug dealer, if I want to find a money launderer, today, if I have the right analyst and the right general profile, I can find drug dealers, I can find money launderers, I can find terrorists just by pressing a button. There is enough data now. So they said, what would the kidnappers look like? Well, they would look like people who were in the area at the time of the kidnapping. Then, checking back, we would see that they were there intermittently. We would also see that they came together, meaning four-man team does the snatch, four-man team does the recon in advance, so on and so forth. They knew what to look for. Somebody whose SIM card is there all day because they're running a store or working in the hotel. By the way, the best tower that they used was on the roof of the Hilton Hotel there. The profile was X. They figured out the profile, and they found 3, 4, 5, 6 groups of cell phones. One of the cell phones they knew because this anti-terrorism prosecutor was talking to the owner of that cell phone on a regular basis. He was the CIA station chief. So they went, aha. And things started falling apart from there. 11 SIMs were in the snatch location, were in contact with 6 SIMs at a blocking location on the A4. Another 3 SIMs were shared SIMs. In the months before the abduction, 20 SIMs had been in regular frequent contact with the other. They were able to discern patterns. Here is, by the way, I actually got copies of the court file. Here is an actual thing from the court file. These are people talking to other people in the target SIMs. And they were able to track these SIMs extrapolating out from known people, including Bob Lady, the CIA station chief. And they were able to identify, for example, 3 other people. Now, it gets worse, by the way. After the kidnapping, the snatch team and the blocking team dispersed. They dispersed by getting together at the same hotels, by checking in using credit cards that were all billed to the same P.O. box where? Correct. Gets worse. The credit cards, the first 13 digits of the credit cards were sequential. Causes me pain as an investigator. So eventually, they were able to build these profiles. They were able to identify everybody. This one goes to this hotel, the Hilton, talks to that cell phone. And by the way, they found out that a bunch of the CIA teams were shacking up. This girl ended up checking in with this guy and so on and so forth, which busted up 2 marriages, by the way, when the indictment came out. No, that's really true. Read the book. Really fascinating. And they were able to, ultimately, that's the indictment. It's not Bravo. It's what a goddamn shame, because these are, for the most part, I've looked into the background of these people. These are people who are real good Americans, real patriots. Join the CIA. You don't get paid real well in the CIA. I can tell you that if you work for the government, you work for private sector, I get paid 5 times what these guys do, and they work 87 times harder than I do, and they're in 97 times as much danger as I am. And they're mostly doing it for America, not because they can't get a private sector job. If they want to go and become what's called red cards, they get 5 times as much money. I mean, literally 5 times as much money. These are good people. It's not Bravo. Say what? Kiss my ass. These are not Nazis. I know some of these people. You don't. They were foolish, but they are not Nazis. By the way, I'm the only one in this room who actually was a Nazi hunter and caught Nazis. Don't tell me about Nazis. Okay. Unfortunately, these 26 people were caught, and it was done entirely through electronic means. If this can be done to these guys, imagine your daily life. And people do it not because they want to invade your privacy. They want to sell you stuff. Things are to the point now where you are walking down the aisle, you stop in a supermarket, and you look at a display of canned peaches. On your phone will pop up a coupon for a certain brand of canned peaches to try to get you to buy those peaches. And if you, in fact, do buy those peaches, which will be confirmed because you're going to probably be using your cell phone as the payment device, but for now you're using your credit card as the payment device, Apple gets a credit, or Android/Google gets a credit, or AdMob gets a credit. You're walking into a steakhouse. On your phone pops up, stop, don't go into Bob's Steakhouse. Here's 33% off for Fred's Steakhouse. Back out of there, go two blocks to the right, 33% off. That is coming, has come, will be coming more and more and more. It's not because they want to invade your privacy. They want to sell you stuff. And so it's so intensely accurate and intensely all-inclusive that these private companies, which, by the way, you have no control over, no control whatsoever. Let me tell you a story. There is a drug dealer, a bona fide bad man drug dealer, who was caught in large part because the FBI put a bumper beeper, a GPS tracking device, on his car. So his attorney argues all the way up to the Supreme Court, this is an invasion of privacy. They should have had a warrant. Supreme Court agrees. This guy's conviction is thrown out. He has to be retried. FBI said, no problem. We'll just use his GPS data from his phones. Same exact evidence, even more detailed. They got rid of 3,000 GPS bumper beepers, and now they're using 30 million cell phones, or 300 million cell phones. It's not because the FBI wants to track you. It's because people want to sell you stuff. Here is mobile location tracking. I want to tell you this is a commercially available service. This is sold right now to bail bondsmen, to private investigators. If I want your cell phone pinged, hey, I call my office, I speak to Clarissa, I say, Clarissa, listen, I lost this tail. Call blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to tell you the name of the company, but you guys could Google this text and pull it up right off of their website like I did. But it's not my job to tell you. Pinging is now a commercial service. I can find out where your cell phone is right now. 10 years ago, maybe the NSA could do it. Now, any schmuck with an account can do it. And this is not the only one. And they can track you down to within 15 meters, within 30 seconds, or within 100 meters, within 10 seconds. And here, by the way, this is a true story. I was contacted by an investigator in Dallas who said we were hired by a family. This girl, 3 nights ago, went out to get pizza for her job crew, went to the pizzeria. They wouldn't take her credit card. She went to a cash machine, took out $100. We know we've got her ATM card usage and the photo from the cash machine, and she's disappeared. So we pinged her cell phone. This is the actual ping of the cell phone that I did. This is my ping. And we found her car, and they went there, and they found her dead in the car. Sadly. It was 106 degrees in the car. She had stopped, had a couple of beers in the car, fell asleep in the car, got cooked. And she died, but it would have been days before they found her, and can't even imagine in a parked car in Dallas where the engine had run out of gas and there was no AC what she would have been like. But we found it. And I've used pinging for a lot of cases. And it's an invaluable tool. And anybody can do it. iPhone. Apple iPhone reports every damn thing about you. Who you talk to. Where you are. What you buy. Who you text. Who you email. Where you eat, what movies you're interested in, searching for properties, everything. And they're doing it for one reason. iAd. This is not Photoshop. iAd. iPhone, iPad, iAd. You're screwed. Okay? I mean, Apple say, okay, I was smart enough to put it up there. Just so you know, all your communications with Siri, saved. Safari lets you strip out ads, but it reports the URLs to Apple. Again, like Google encrypted search, ooh, they're doing you a big favor, stripping out ads. No, no, no. They don't want other people to be able to sell you ads. They want to be able to say to advertisers, anybody using Safari, the only way you can put an ad there is through us. New privacy policy lets Apple collect and share iPhone users' precise locations. Why? Not because, I can't think of the guy's name, whoever it was that took over from Steve Jobs, not because he cares where you are at 3 o'clock in the morning, but because he wants to sell you stuff. Cell phone is a loyalty card, payment device, barcode reader, store guide, eBay or Amazon portal, manufacturer syncing, retail object recognition, Google goggles, all data to manufacturer, locator beacon, never turned off. These facts are standard on everybody's phone, and it gives me your life. I'm going to switch through this super fast. Oh, there you go. We're going to talk now. Do I really need to cover what GPS does and that it's a constant implementation of everything now? Again, GPS. It's so easy and it's so simple that there's an app that you can put in a bar in Dallas and it will tell, no, excuse me. You can put in a location in Dallas and it will suck down how many girls there are around you and where you can go and stalk them. This has been pulled down. Oh, and this is the USA versus Antoine Jones. Google that, look at it, understand. Now, marketing. Oh boy, I'm running over. I am going to tell you that, by the way, my favorite one right there is the huge woman with the diaper and the antenna on her head. If you're just looking for one. I will tell you that every subscription, every 800 number call, every product survey, every product registration, every credit card usage, every login, every website visit, every check-in, every like, every friend, everything is used to define you down to a unique person and figure out what you'll pay money for. Your likes, your dislikes, your habits, your hobbies, your religion, your politics, your sexual orientation, everything. If I subscribe to Wine Spectator, I'm interested in wine. Gun Digest, I'm interested in guns. Heeb, I'm a Jewish guy. Paz, I'm HIV positive. I mean, every little thing about you can be defined down. And they have marketing lists that they sell. I mean, I wish I could go into this a little more. I got to do this like a speed freak now. But there are primarily two companies, InfoUSA and Axiom, A-C-X-I-O-M, that have billions of records, tens of billions of records on it. Your age, your income level, home value, your health, your hobbies, your ethnicity, the value of your home, your household income, your date of birth, your discretionary spending. And they sell marketing lists. Suffering seniors, elderly people with cancer. There's specific marketing to those people. Oldies but goodies. Gamblers over the age of 55. Axiom. Axiom pulls together direct mail, calls, networks, websites, emails, displays, your mobile phone activity, your text activity, your social networking activity, everything into one file about you. And they have 132 million unique files on Americans. They pull in how many friends you have, how many sites you visit, Facebook, LinkedIn, MySpace, Twitter followers, social activity segments. Like if you like something, how much you spend, your income, your race, your religion. Do you have an allergy? Do you have arthritis? Do you have diabetes? Do you eat organic food? Are you a senior? Are you interested in arts, flying, computers, celebrities? How many kids you have? How old they are? Are you divorced? Are you a newlywed? And so on and so forth. And they put them together in lists. These people know more about you on any given day than the FBI, the CIA, the KGB, your own mother. You with the glasses. If I come to you and I say, I've got a guy I'm investigating. He's a subscriber to Soldier of Fortune magazine, American Rifleman, The Washington Times. He purchased the Force of Reason. He's a registered Republican, and he's listed in Focus USA's Christian donors list, which I can determine about somebody pretty damn easily. What can you tell me about this person? Is that like thing on too tight? I'll tell you what it tells me. He's a, probably, but you know he's a gun owner. He's a right winger. He's, well, that's for damn sure. He's a Republican, and he's a believing Christian, and he's into Christian politics. Okay. Second guy, Village Voice, High Times Magazine, cat fancier, reads Noam Chomsky, Green Party, contributed to the United Jewish Appeal, the Gay Men's Health Crisis. By the way, this is a real profile. And American Friends of Peace Now. What do you know about him? He is a left-wing, gay, Jewish guy. Probably pot smoker. Left-wing, pot smoking, gay, Jewish guy. Right? Now, by the way, just was that you? That's you? Now, by the way, I just want to, I'm not gay or left-wing. Not that there's anything wrong with it. I love that line. Not that there's anything wrong with it. Okay, now, by the way that you tell that this guy is gay, just for those of you who want to go into investigations, has nothing to do with the gay men's health crisis. He's single and he lives with a cat. That's all you need to know. With databases, 47 times easier. You can download all of this information and get the same thing on your computer almost immediately. Lists, cross-referencing, matching, can all be done in one place. I can go, forget about marketing. I can go to your Facebook profile. I can go to your Apple profile. I can go to your MySpace profile. I can go to what Google has on you and determine this right away. Psychographics, micro-targeting, the big sword. I can take stuff and extrapolate out. The one example that I like to give is when VW wanted to introduce the Beetle, it had been out of production for so long that they didn't even have lists of prior owners that were worth a damn. So after the first year, they surveyed like mad. I mean, they're Germans. They're good at it. They surveyed like mad all of the VW owners, and they found every characteristic they could. Are they male, female, white, black, Democrat, Republican, income level, whatever. And they found that people who owned a cat and ate chunky peanut butter were three times as likely to buy a Volkswagen Beetle. So they bought up the peanut butter owner list and the cat owner list, and they cross-referenced them, and they marketed like hell to everybody who showed up on both lists, and they sold a ton of Volkswagens. This is not a joke. This is really true. This is a marketing study. For example, last election, Rove and all the guys on the Democratic side figured out butter, white wine, Fig Newtons, fruit-filled cookies, Red Lobster, drive a Volvo, yoga. You are much more inclined to be a Hillary voter. Yeah, okay, whatever. And do you fit that profile? Well, I don't believe it. Olive oil, bare naked granola, lattes to go, Cheesecake Factory, Panera and Starbucks, Barack Obama. Bourbon, stuffed crust pizza, Fiber One. Not my survey. Hardee's, Fuddruckers, BMW and Own a Gun, John McCain. And then they would take these lists and they would proselytize them. It is an amazing, amazing thing. Amazing, amazing thing. Don't have more time. I now want to go to, this is an example of an intrusive profile. I now want to go to cameras. Cameras are really, really important. I'm almost certainly going to run a couple of minutes over, but let's try not to. This is this area right now. 1998, few cameras. 2003, 2008. Today, there are over 3,000 cameras in the 1 square mile around Bryant Park. 3,000 cameras. The big thing is accuracy and resolution of the cameras, facial recognition, license plate recognition, and analytics. Analytics is a big one. Here is Obama's inauguration. Here is Obama's inauguration. Here is Obama's inauguration. That's how close you can get. From that to that, using something called GigaPan. From that, you can get to that, that, or that. I can take a picture of this room, bam, with a high-resolution GigaPan camera and have enough to ID everybody in here. Let me give you an example. Watch the bouncing thing. This is called GigaPan. You can go to the website, do this yourself. GigaPan.com. I'm zooming in. Unfortunately, I was doing this on an old slow Mac, so it's going to take a second. Just want you to see that I wasn't making up these pictures. Now, by the way, I picked these two guys right here as my final photo because they look kind of like mafia-ish, right? With the hat and the glasses. I was doing a job with the Secret Service, and he says, "What's these photos about?" I said, "Yeah, they look kind of creepy. I wanted to use them for a facial recognition example." He says, "They're wearing Congress identification pins." So just so you know, these are your representatives. Looking like Carlo Gambino, right? So just so you know, from that to that, that's where cameras are at right now. Perfect example is London. 1967, the first camera. 30 years later, there are only 500 cameras. 2008, 4.2 million. Community safety cameras. It's estimated that you walk down the street in London from point A to point B, no matter what your trip is, you're filmed at least 200 times. Drones. These guys before talked about drones. They don't know the half of them. Anywhere you want a drone, we can have a drone. Helicopter drones. Perpetual drones. Little drones that the police department can throw that they can keep in the trunk of their car. Drones that are cyborgs. That is a real moth. Oh, here we go. Okay, I hope you know what you're doing. No, don't sit here. Don't sit here. Go over there and fly it around and first make sure you don't kill anyone and then we'll use the video. Cyborg drones. This is a real moth that they've put a controller and a camera on. Devil Ray. When this thing needs to recharge, it throws out two wires, puts it on a high-tension wire, sucks it up, and flies away again. Experiment over. Landing. Well, landing. Don't mind invading your privacy, but I don't want to invade your cranium. There are things that you can carry around in a briefcase if you're undercover. Open it up, prop it up, and it takes off and flies around. No, that's for real. NYPD right now has a camera that's good enough to, from 2 miles away, so far enough away you can't even hear the chopper, look inside a car and see what's going on. They used it. There was a hostage standoff. And they didn't know what happened with the guy in the car that had a gun, so they brought out the chopper and they zoomed in on the car. And by the way, at night, they were able to do it. And they saw that the guy had shot himself, so they moved the ESU team, the SWAT team in, and pulled him out of the car, and he was dead. Here's an example. This is just a couple of weeks ago from Israel Hayom paper. Israel is in the forefront of these tiny, tiny little drones, platoon-level drones that they can take out with them. This is designed to look like a bird, so it can be used covertly. There it is right there. There it is, the guy controlling it in flight. By the way, never underestimate stupid paranoia of a Middle Eastern government. The Turks heard about these birds, and they started shooting real birds migrating from Israel and checking them for cameras. And this is an actual screenshot from Turkish TV. Sad, I feel sorry for this little birdie, but write your nasty letters to the Turks. Disturbing video number one.
Micro air vehicles, or MAVs, will play an important role in future warfare. The urban battlefield calls for tools to increase the warfighter's situational awareness and capacity to engage rapidly, precisely, and with minimal collateral damage. MAVs will be integrated into future Air Force layered sensing systems. These systems may be airdropped or hand-launched, depending on the mission requirements.
That's a real unit. I'm going to show you the real unit in a second. That is a real unit.
The small size of MAVs allows them to be hidden in plain sight. Once in place, an MAV can enter a low-powered extended surveillance mode for missions lasting days or weeks. This may require the MAV to harvest energy from environmental sources, such as sunlight or wind, or from man-made sources, such as power lines and vibrating machinery.
Which
it will
means
blend
it
in
lives
with its
forever.
Surroundings and operate undetected. MAVs will use microsensors and microprocessor technology to navigate and track targets through
follows
complicated terrain, such as urban areas. An MAV operating in urban terrain will have more agility challenges than larger UAVs. Obstructions can cause wind gusts, even on a calm day. One way to overcome this is to learn from examples in nature and use flapping wings to fly. Sensing an oncoming gust, feedback control directs the wings to flap asymmetrically, compensating for the wind. Small size and agile flight will enable MAVs to covertly enter locations inaccessible by traditional means of aerial surveillance. MAVs will use new forms of navigation, such as a vision-based technique called optic flow. This system remains robust when traditional methods, such as GPS, are unavailable.
Anyway, you get the point. And that is a legitimate thing.
This video presents autonomous control.
All right, you know what? That's just a drone flying everywhere. Now, by the way, whoever said there's X number of drones has no clue. The U.S. Army is giving away hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of surplus drones to police forces. Police forces are using them everywhere. Texas, I have an office and a home in Texas. Texas police, not the military, even has a drone with a grenade launcher. This is an unmanned vehicle with Hellfire missiles. This is a commercial drone. For every military or government drone out there, there are somewhere between 3 to 10 commercial drones. This is an actual commercial drone. These are guys using drones as hobbyists. When I was a kid launching rockets, now people are using drones as hobbyists. Here's another guy, a hobbyist. Guy doing a ski jump, this is a Sports Illustrated drone. Sports Illustrated magazine has its own drone to follow performance. That is an actual drone. That is the drone you saw before. That is an actual drone. That is an actual drone. Okay. There's something called proof of concept, proving how frickin' easy it is for anybody who wants. Now, I use drones all the time as an investigator now. I'm a private investigator, and I use drones. I don't have the NSA's budget. Here's a guy, his cat died. He loved his cat. He loved his cat. He loved drones. So he turned his dead cat into a drone. I'm not making this up. Go to the internet, research it. No Photoshop, no bullshit. A dead cat flying around the street. That's how easy it is. Now, this is just the U.S. Air Force. This is their declassified, couldn't think of the word for a second. This is the declassified map from the U.S. Air Force. Yeah, now. 5 minutes left. Now you lower the light. This is the declassified map of drone bases in the United States. I just that on purpose? Yeah, give me 5 more minutes. I mean, did somebody purposely shut that off? What? You care about the time because, listen, from here, we have an hour downstairs, so I am only going to continue for 5 more minutes because we have a whole hour in a room downstairs. Let me just tell you very quickly while they're putting this back on. I am the vice president and educational chairman of the Society of Professional Investigators. This is the president here. In addition to having a Q&A downstairs, I'm looking to recruit from this group members of the Society of Professional Investigators. If you are an investigator, if you are a law enforcement officer, if you are a security professional, if you are in a forensic field, if you feel that you would fit in a investigative / law enforcement organization, we have monthly meetings, dinner meetings. The membership fees are very, very cheap. I feel comfortable telling you about this because, first of all, it's a great group, and I'm not shilling for myself. If you're interested in this group, come up to us. I would love to get 5-10 new members from this group, especially if you are an IT security person and you work with a facility or you work in law enforcement. If you bridge the gap between what I do and computers, we want you. So come and talk to us in the room. If you have questions you want to ask or you want to talk to me privately or Bruce or whatever, come downstairs also. Now, I'm going to do this like a speed freak. I want to show you analytics. Cameras can determine what you're doing. Cameras can determine what you're doing, where you're doing it. For example, it knows this person is sitting, this person is eating, this person is playing. The funny thing is, this is a schoolyard, but the product was developed by people for prisons, so it thinks this kid is making a break for it. No, that's really true. This is a real ad from Security Magazine. Facial recognition. Every state driver's license repository, Department of Motor Vehicles in New York, DPS in Texas, is taking driver's license photos and comparing them to mugshots. If you come in and you apply for a driver's license and you're a wanted person, you may not make it out of the DMV. I mean, you think DMV is a pain in the ass now. Wait till real world. Israel, allegedly, did a hit in Dubai on a Hamas member. They sent a hit team. Dubai, little Dubai, was able to take airport cameras, hotel cameras, grab everybody, and compare them to passport photos. This is the killer. This is the passport photo. We don't have time for that, but let me tell you that even I have the ability to use facial recognition. It's that simple now. When I was looking to match MySpace pages to sexual predators, I was able to do it. When I was looking to match Illinois deadbeat dad to MySpace and Facebook pages, I was able to do it. Sex offenders. This was the easiest one. This guy had the biggest balls you've ever seen. He used his sexual offender booking photo as his MySpace photo. Not making it up. You can look up the CNET article when I revealed this. Wearing a disguise doesn't help. Facial recognition on only 5, you can enhance a photo now. Facial recognition on only a portion of your face is now possible. Even 5%. Nose analytics. I mean, for me, it should be a cinch. But for everybody, where your nose is on your face, the angle, this, that, it's possible just from a nose to ID somebody. I know there's a joke in there somewhere, but whatever. Gait, yeah, this guy. Whoa, now I understand. Okay, gait recognition, how you walk. If you bebop, it knows that's Bob's bebop. Okay, I'm getting the cut. I just want to go to one thing. No.